Fontes, podcast di cultura pagana del Giorno Pagano Europeo della Memoria. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this new episode of Fontes, Radio GPM's podcast about pagan culture. Now we are back after the fatigue of the ECER Congress held in Bologna at the end of this August, and we begin again to broadcast the Fontes with an episode about dancing in Greco-Roman religions. You know that the month of October is dedicated to practice and worship. This time we talk about dance, because dance and music have always had a fundamental role in worship in ancient Greece, since Cretan times. And we don't need to get back to ancient Egypt, where dancing was equally important, to explain why moving in time was so much important. Rhythm and the movement related to it are a human feature since the most ancient eras, and in every culture the music and the dancing are connected to worship, often to represent the life. This is true also in ancient Rome, as we'll see in a while, where the very ancient priestly orders of the Salii and of the Arval Brethren used to dance their rites, while the dancing shows and theatre plays were considered in Rome with a bit of mistrust. When we think about dance in Greece, we immediately think to Dionysus and the theatre with his chorus, that were real chorus moving according to music and choreographies. Dionysus was usually celebrated by the dithyramb, a wild dance with a sole dancer, probably representing the god, and a chorus of dancers. From the dithyramb, the theatre was born. Satyrs and maenads inside Dionysus' retinue were the first dancers in Greek mythology, not because they were the most ancient, but because they were certainly the most famous. The word maenads comes from the Greek verb that means to rave. This raving, called furor by the Romans, was strictly connected to the presence of the deity. Was called furor, the ecstatic frenzy of Bacchae, but also the inspirations of the poets and the rage of the warrior during the battle. Music and dance are involved in all three of these cases. In ecstatic rites, the dance is used to express the deity and his or her presence. The god or goddess are already here, and people get in touch with him or her by imitation. If Dionysus is the flux of life, the streaming life, a fluid movement of the body beating time puts men in touch in relation with the stream. A different kind of furor or rage is the inspiration of poets, but is nevertheless related to music and dance. It's related to music because both Greek and Latin meters are based on the toning of syllables and on the length of their pronunciation. The word music remembers us the muses. Among them, Terpsichore is the muse of the dance, and they are often represented while dancing, like in Hesiod's Theogony. Most of group deities, that is, deities often called in groups under plural names and only rarely one by one, are usually represented while dancing. Maenads, muses, nymphs of the woods, nymphs followers of Artemis, and the three charities or graces, whose dance represents the art of giving and receiving. In Greek poetry, the choral lyric was the genre destined to public dances, and these poems were often dedicated to a god or goddess. One of the most famous composers in this genre was certainly Pindar, Pindar was the author not only of poems of celebration of many Panhellenic Games winners, but also of religious poems, of which only a few fragments remain. Among these religious poems, there were a hymn to Pan and several paeans. The paean was a triumph song dedicated mostly to Apollo, like the dithyramb was dedicated to Dionysus. Only later, the word paean became a synonym of hymn, and paean to other deities, especially to Artemis, were composed. Apollo and Artemis shared also, in their worship, a particular kind of dance, a group dance performed in human chains. This kind of dance and the fact that the paeans were sung before a battle brings us to that third meaning of the word furor we mentioned just before. The furor, it has the rage of the warrior during the battle. Unlike other populations of pre-Christian Europe, the Greeks and the Romans preferred to discipline the warrior's rage instead of unleashing it, and this was because their armies preferred to fight in disciplined ranks. So, Lucian of Samosata tells us that Spartans used to play music and dance to discipline their fighting spirit, and used to march toward the battle accompanied by flutes, and not by drums that excited the warriors' rage too much. The rank of troops and the line of dancers in group dancing both need to move together. The work by Lucian, entitled On Dance, is the most important work about the dance in ancient world. In ancient Greece, the dance was considered a very important part of the education of both boys and girls. Military dances were performed during religious rites. Not only Callimachus tells us about a dance performed by armed Amazons to honor Artemis, but also a particular kind of dance, the Pyrrhic dance, was performed by armed soldiers during several religious celebrations. In Greek mythology, we find the Curetes, who protected Zeus, performing a noisy war dance that prevented Cronos from hearing the cry of the newborn god. The mythic Curetes were later confused with the Corybantes, armed priest of Cybele who used to perform an ecstatic dance keeping time to a drum. The dances of mystery cults, ecstatic and wild, came to Rome too, but there they were often suspiciously considered. The dance, as part of a religious rite, already existed in Rome. The Sali and the Arval Brethren, the most ancient priests' order in Rome, used to perform dancing processions, and the name itself of the Sali could come from the Latin word for to dance. What the Sali used to perform was actually a war dance. They were priests of Mars, even though in their Carmina songs they invoked various deities, and in their dance they went around hitting 12 shields. The ceremonies performed by the Sali used to open and close the season of war. Every city in Latium, not only Rome, had its own group of Sali, so we can consider the Sali to be a Latin institution. For what we said, we could think that religious dancing in Rome was some kind of man's business. But almost all books and dictionaries about ancient religions, except for very few ones, forget to tell us about the Salian virgins. The Salian virgins, who were the feminine part of the priest order. These priestesses, Festus tells us, used to dress like their male counterparts and to sacrifice to Mars inside the Regia, that was the ancient palace of kings before the Republican era. According to Macrobius, the Sali used to invoke all gods and goddesses except Venus, and probably put them in pairs, a god and a goddess at a time. According to some scholars, the presence of the Salian virgins was so necessary because the goddesses would have received more favorably the offers coming from priestesses. In fact, in Rome, the Flamen Dialis used to offer to Jupiter, but his wife, the Flaminica, used to offer to Juno, so it was necessary that the Flamen had been married with religious rite. It was the higher degree of marriage possible in Rome. In Rome there were different kinds of marriages, and one was the religious marriage. We can't verify what Macrobius says about the presence of all gods and goddesses in Thessalia's song, because we only have few fragments, whose language is a Latin so archaic that wasn't well understood centuries before Macrobius. Well, we could talk a lot about that, and it would be a long and difficult argument to deal with. So we must stop here with our bird view about the dance in ancient Greek and Roman religions, though we have to leave many arguments unspoken, from the many names of Dionysus, from the rites of the Thessalians, and so on. It's also a bit unpleasant for me to tell that this is the last episode of Fontes in English. We try to translate every episode from Italian to English so that we could meet the need of English-speaking people following the European Pagan Memory Day project. But we didn't have any feedback about that. So I personally think that now the translation of Fontes in English can be more of a burden now. I prefer to concentrate my forces on what in the project brings us a feedback. If you don't agree, if you think that this translation is still necessary because you like Fontes and you want to hear it in English, you can write us at the email address radiogpn@giornopaganomemoria.it. Fontes anyway will continue in Italian language, so if you can listen to it in Italian, you won't have any problem.